Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, so how surprising do you think it would be if the Grizzlies win?
Pretty surprising. I don't think it would be like, you know, shock of the century or anything.
Right.
It's an individual basketball game, and like John Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr., Desmond Bane are playing in it.
Right.
But, you know, I think the Warriors are justifiably, I mean, by the standards of postseason basketball games, like a 7.5 point spread is pretty big. And so I think that's a justifiable spread. But I do think this is, as I said before, and I said even before the matchup was set, I think there's much more potential for the Grizzlies with this matchup than there would have been for the Clippers. And I think if they play their best game, they can win the game. But they've had a hard time finding their best and sustaining it. So,
would you have preferred, from the Grizzlies' perspective, can you have a one-game playoff against any playoff team or play-in team in the West? Is this the best matchup? Or would you have preferred Minnesota, Denver?
I think Golden State is better than like all the teams, probably except for the Thunder and the Clippers, who I think are the two best teams. But in terms of matchup stuff, I mean, I might take Denver. I mean, Grizzlies are right there. Denver, right. Second, I have a back to back, you know? I think Golden State is better than some of these teams, but I think when you factor in the matchup stuff for the Grizzlies, that difference collapses. Cause I think the matchup stuff is a little bit better for the Grizzlies against the Warriors than against some other teams.
So you wrote about a piece about a lot of these matchups today. I'd urge people to read it at the Daily Memphian. I have tweeted it out. Let's just start with the 3-point shooting though. And then I combine that with Drew's piece with Isolo today, where the first thing when we were talking about it, Isolo said, well, they got the shot. They got great shot quality was right. The phrase he used.
He's
in the last game.
So that's clearly a thing, yes, that he monitors as a coach.
So, I mean, the Grizzlies don't defend the three or haven't historically anyway. Now they're missing Jalen Wells.
Right.
You went back and watched that game. Was it Steph being incandescent or was it shot quality or obviously some of both?
It was both. Early in the game, they were playing, as you would expect, playing a drop coverage with Zach Edey, which means on a pick and roll, instead of coming out, he drops back in the paint. And, you know, and so guys were having trouble, like, you know, guys are getting picked and Steph's getting their open looks and Steph starts making them and maybe he gets into a groove that way. They adjusted that over the course of the game, and I think the looks were not quite as easy for Steph, but then he's like hitting highly contested shots because he's Steph Curry.
Right.
Like, you know, and so I think the adjustment they made, you know, a quarter of the way into that game, they'll probably do from the jump, and we'll see if they have better success. You know, John Morant said after that game, like, this guy's number one on the scouting board, he shouldn't be getting 20 up. And that's an interesting question, right? Like, how much you want to balance, you know, if it's Steph Curry alone, is he going to be enough to beat you? The Warriors are not as good offensively as people think they are, right?
Right.
People think of they're great because they have Steph Curry. But there's not, you know. And so it's an interesting question. I think certainly they don't want to see Steph Curry shooting 12 of 20 from three.
Right.
And I think they'll guard that differently. The other thing in terms of the 3-point shooting is that was offset a little bit by 1 of 7 from Draymond Green. And what Isolo has done pretty consistently with Edey is, like, you know, the guy you're quote unquote guarding is someone they don't believe in as a 3-point shooter, and you just let them shoot if they want to shoot, which is what they did to Draymond Green. And I think they'll do that again, and we'll see if he's making or not.
But you did point out in today's piece that recently 30%, which they would certainly take, like you said, 30% yeah, from three
since the All-Star break, you know, but you know, you're not playing a sample of games tonight. You're only playing one
right,
game.
Right.
So he could go 7-7 tonight.
Right. That's what I'm saying. But yeah, the 1-7 though was not, it was atypically bad when they played him. Like a lot of, stuff,
yeah, but he's still a guy that you don't,
you don't leave open.
I mean, 30% is not good.
Right.
You know, especially if you're leaving guys open.
So, all right. The Grizzlies advantage would seem to have an advantage inside. They got pounded on the boards by the Clippers the other day. You would imagine that Edie and Jaren Jackson Jr. should have a huge
impact. Yeah, rebounding is not just about bigs, though.
Right.
They gave up 15 offensive rebounds to the Warriors in the last game, who are smaller. Sometimes rebounding is about quickness.
Including
it's about
that,
whether you're boxing guys out and whether you're tagging guys and your court awareness. So it's not just about like being big. But I do think, you know, that, and so I think general defensive awareness, court awareness is something that's really important for the Warriors, because they got it, and they will, right, they will beat you with it, and you gotta be hyper aware. And I think that's an issue for all the players, not just the bigs. But I think, you know, Edie, a lot of people looked at like Steph Curry scored 52. You can't have Zach Edie out there against the Warriors. Yeah, but they beat the Warriors by 13 when Zach Edie was on the floor. And so I think the question with Edie of, you know, how much can the Warriors exploit his weaknesses, and how much can the Grizzlies amplify his strengths? I don't know if that alone will flip the game, but that's going to be one of the most important things in the game. Because another thing Isolo said in Drew's piece, I mean, the question was something about, you know, is Edie an X factor or Scottie Pippen an X factor? And he was like, he basically said, those dudes are playing, period, right? You know, I think maybe it's an X factor or how good of a game you have, but it's not like a curveball. Like they're going with Edie, and they'll sink or swim with it. You know?
Yeah. It was striking again how much he talks up, believes.
Well, he also doesn't have Brandon Clark.
He had any choice, right? But he also doesn't just say, and he wouldn't, we have to play him. But I mean, he really does. His words suggest he believes in Edie,
right?
You know, I guess it's funny. You made the court awareness. We talked about it yesterday too. You combine, you're playing Zach Edie, who's a rookie, and right, you've got Scottie Pippen, who, God bless him, his legs have been great.
Zach Edie, Scottie Pippen, and Vince Williams will all be playing their first career postseason game.
And against a team that doesn't defend the perimeter well at Golden State, it just doesn't seem, I can talk myself into it,
right,
but that seems like the biggest reason that they...
No, it's a problem. Like, there's the Grizzlies are underdogs for a reason, and they should be, but the Grizzlies got a lot of talent they're bringing into this game, and they it was a 1-point game against the Warriors 2 weeks ago with 2 minutes to go, and so I'm hoping for a good basketball game.
Jaren's role in this game, what do you
it would be great. I mean, Jaren's super important, like on both ends of the floor, and so you'd like for Jaren to get a lot of minutes and to play well, obviously. Both of those things would be very helpful. In fact, I don't know if you can win without both of those things. And so, you know, I'd like to see Jaren, you know, put up 25-plus points and play 35-plus minutes is what I want out of Jaren.
You did mention that in the last game, Curry, Butler, and Draymond played 108 minutes. Morant, Bane, and Jaren played 99. But really the difference there is Jaren's foul trouble as much as anything.
That was the main
right?
difference. Yeah. That wasn't the entirety of the difference, but that was a big, the biggest chunk of it, yeah.
And, of course, we'll see if Butler's limping. You know,
right.
we don't know. So two guys I want to ask you about in particular, what you imagine their role might be, Santi and Luke.
I wonder about that. To me, there's a real question. If you know you're playing your quote-unquote big three and you're playing Pippen and Edie, and whether you start that, and that's something I wonder about, like could they start Scottie Pippen? But those five guys are going to play a lot. And then after that, you got questions. You're not only playing five guys. Even if you're only playing seven, you still got two more guys you got to play. And so this question of, do you lean into more defense tenacity kind of guys, which would be, I think probably in this order of choice, would be Vince Williams, John Conchar, and Lamar Stevens. Or do you lean into the shooting, scoring stuff with guys who bring some defensive problems, which is Aldama and Kennard? Well, all season long, Aldama and Kennard have played more than those other guys, generally. And Aldama has been like over the course of the season has sort of been the fourth guy on the team. So, like, I think they're going to play Santi, but if it's not going well, how quickly do you adjust and which direction do you adjust? Luke had been playing terribly, and then they DNP'd him a game, and he came back and had a really good game against Denver.
Yep.
And so maybe that sort of – so I think those two guys you got to put out there initially and see if they're hitting shots, see if they're a problem defensively. But this is a one-game situation, so if something's not working – like, you're not pulling the plug on John Moran if something's not working, right. But you may pull the plug on Luke Kennard or Santi Aldama if it's not working.
Santi had a particularly bad game last time they played. Do you happen to know?
He had a bad plus-minus game. His box score line was good. He was negative 26. And if you watched it, it was because of defense, because he was
right.
There were situations. It was not dissimilar. There was some other game, the Minnesota game, where in the second half he was getting picked on by Randall and Edwards. It's sort of like that where in the second half, he was finding himself either on switches, getting Curry on switches and being, you know, trouble getting around screens and Curry's getting shots and that kind of stuff. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the first hand grenade sent into the Chase crowd yes. tonight.
Well, let's hope Morant has plenty of opportunities relative to his attempts
on
that.
I was reading a piece from the Warriors' perspective about this matchup and Marcus Towns, I think, said basically made the point that Ja hits all his three pointers against the Warriors.
True in the past tense, right. It doesn't past have performance, any future results, right. No relationship on that.
Although they don't have a great matchup for him in terms of his overall production.
Yeah, right? But that is not the three-point shooting, right. I think there's no magical qualities of the Chase Center in which John Rich. Three-pointers are going to go in. I do think, well, Gary Payton will be back, and Gary Payton did not play the last matchup, and he's back. He won't start. He hasn't been starting. That may be their best defensive matchup against Morant, so that's something to look for. But in their starting lineup, and Moses Moody is a decent defender and is big. That's the kind of guy it makes sense to put on Morant. But Morant has had success against the Warriors. I don't think it's because of three-point shooting luck. I think
one of the things that's kind of amazing is that, I mean, you look at who the Grizzlies are having to press into service, right?
Right.
And then you look at the fact that the Warriors have Kuminga sitting on the bench.
Not even playing. And that's that's a guy who physically could be a problem for the Grizzlies, because that's exactly the kind of guy.
Houston kind of guy, yeah.
Yeah, athlete. There's this athletic wing with size that they just don't have good matchups for anymore. But he hasn't been good. Kerr doesn't believe in him clearly, so I don't expect he'll play.
All right. So that's tonight. People can read about the matchup in the Daily Memphian. You also did your 28 best moments of the season. And a few things struck me. One is four of the top five, and there was one that was sort of Ja was involved in. It was the passing play, the one with a million passes in it, whatever. But it wasn't a Ja specific. But Ja was in 15 of the 28. And this is a season where he played 50 games.
Ja's kind of spectacular. Like how many was he in of the 27 last year when he played 9 games? A lot.
Right.
You know, he shows up and he's like, let's dunk on Wimby and let's hit a game winner against. That's Ja, man. Ja is one of the most. There are deficiencies, and we talk about them a lot, but he is one of the most spectacular players in the NBA. Like after I posted that, I had written that story over the weekend, and then it posted yesterday morning. And after that posted, the NBA put out a thing that was like, these were the five most watched, you know, social media clips on the season. And number one, it was like double number
it was,
two.
It was number
was,
one.
Was the one that was number one on my list. Which
it was the Brooklyn 360s.
He had two different and equally artistic 360-degree layups in the same game.
268 million views and the NBA. So, yes, that was number one. Number two was T.A. You can't make T.A. number one, right?
You can't make it number one because that disrespects the game season. On the floor. I probably should have made it one or two spots lower. Maybe I was too swayed by the sense of disappointment and how the season ended. Maybe that should have been a little bit lower. But typically I think Gasol and Randolph also had it to the top five
somewhere.
So that sort of goes into the top five.
Okay. Three was Ja at Minnesota.
He hit the two shots in the last minute to win the game. Yeah.
Right.
And the second one was like probably his shot of the year. Just he really like dribbles in a full circle and then hits the arcing layup over Gobert for the game winner. Yeah.
Four was the dunk at Boston.
Which was also, NBA put in another thing today that was their top 10 most viewed things of the season. And that was also, Ja had two on the list. It was the Brooklyn 360s, and it was that dunk. which is just one of the coolest plays of the year. Like the give and go with Bane and launch in, and like the double pump reverse around Porzingis. Yeah.
And then, and this one was an unbelievable game. The assist from his butt against, it was the Milwaukee game.
Yeah, it was the Milwaukee game where he had a triple-double. He had 14 assists, which may or may not have been a season high. I'd have to go back and look. But something like 8 or 9 of those 14 assists were lob dunks. And to me, that's the best job. We haven't seen a lot of that lately. He's back to scoring and stuff, but I like it when the ball's just pinging all over the place and guys getting layups off of his passing.
So those are the top four. Those are the top five. Four of them were Ja. You can read the full list of 28 over at the Daily Memphian. I'll say this. It was interesting how many Edie there were. There were a bunch of Edie. Standing up to Draymond.
He's sort of one-on-one. He's another guy who's like, he's, you know, there are 450 players in the NBA. A lot of them look similar to each other and play similar to each other, and he sort of stands out. And so that is the case. A, he's new. There's a newness component. And then the fact that he's so sort of singular, I think, helps create moments because he's so unique, right?
He can also have awkward moments because he's also, that'd
be a different list.
Would be a different list. But yes, there was, I don't know if it was the number one. I think the number one might have been him standing up to Draymond. It might have been that.
That was sort of a dual thing where Ja blocked Draymond, and Draymond got bullied, so he went to look for someone to bully, and he found Zach Edey, and that didn't work out as well.
There was the Brandon Clarke closeout. Some of these are wistful because the players are no longer with us.
Right.
So that was in the win over Minnesota. I was surprised that Gigi didn't have a great year. Didn't make an appearance on the top 28.
Yeah, met Giannis at the rim. I think that was at Milwaukee. Maybe it was here. I don't remember. No, it was at Milwaukee. So it was the second game. So yeah, blocked Giannis at the rim.
And then one of the things I like about this list is, there are things that happen in the course of a season that was the season. You remember that? That was the season of, and it was the Huff stuff.
Right. we add things to our lexicon. I need to update the Grizzlies glossary at some point. Maybe I'll do that this summer.
The Huff stuff, and who knows if there'll be more Huff stuff next year, but this will be the year that we will always think about the Huff stuff. And remember how much fun the season was at that point. They were in second, like they were rolling along. Right. They had this offense, the Huff stuff, all of that. All right, there's another game tonight. Orlando is favored in that one. Thoughts on it? Is interesting. The play-in seems like a great innovation. In the East, seems like less of an innovation, right?
Yeah. I mean, and you get teams that are just sort of, you associate with the play-in, like I associate the Bulls with the play-in.
Right.
I don't know how many times the Sacramento's been in the play-in, but they just seem like a play-in kind of team, you know? Atlanta definitely seems like a play-in kind of team. And so, I don't know. Orlando's at home. I guess they're favored. Orlando just doesn't have guards, and I've sort of wondered about that all season. So it wouldn't surprise me if Atlanta won that game.
Budenholzer fired yesterday, and David Griffin, the GM of the Pelicans, fired yesterday. I don't know if this—
Joe Dumars is about to be hired.
Joe Dumars is going to be hired, who was successful in Detroit, but then unsuccessful in Sacramento, right?
He was successful in Detroit, and then he was unsuccessful in Detroit, and that's the way it goes. Right. It's like long track records or mixed track records for everybody. But apparently, the Dumars thing is he went to McNeese State.
Oh, right.
He's a local,
that's right?
And so I think that's a relationship thing with ownership and all of that. Yeah.
And have you heard whether it feels like the Suns are going to pull the plug on this thing? Is that what this is about?
Define pull the plug? If pull the plug means trading Booker and starting over, I don't think that's what they're going to do.
But
are they going to trade Durant? Yeah.
Yes. They're going to trade Durant, but they can't trade Beal, and they will not trade Booker, is your prediction.
That seems the most likely, yeah.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drive deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.